Stay tuned now for Edward R. Murrow with the news, presented by Hams, the beer refreshing. Hams is the beer that looks refreshing, dancing gold in your glass, tastes refreshing, crisp and clean cut with smoothness aged in. Yes, Hams is the beer that captures for you the refreshing enchantment of the land it comes from, the land of sky blue waters. When you're dry and thirsty, ask for Hams. H-A-M-M-S. Hams, refreshingly yours from the land of sky blue waters. Edward R. Murrow is now in Europe for an on-the-spot survey of the leading capitals and interviews with the men and women who make the news. In a few minutes, we will hear Mr. Murrow's report. But first, here's Bill Shadell with a summary of the news.
Good evening. The big news tonight is, of course, in Britain, where returns are now coming in on the British national elections. Edward R. Murrow is standing by in London to bring you his report on this day's voting. We take you now direct to London and Edward R. Murrow.
This is London. The polls closed in Britain's national election about 4 hours ago. Here is the way the parties stand at the moment. We have 100 results out of 625. The Labour Party have won 56, the Conservatives 43, and the Liberals 1. The refrain all evening as the reports have come in from the constituencies has been, no change, no change. So far, the Labour Party has lost 5 seats in Parliament, 4 of them going to the Conservatives and 1 to the Liberals. In terms of the total popular vote, there has been a swing of about 1.5% to the Conservatives. If this trend continues, it will probably mean a narrow majority of perhaps 20 for the Conservatives in the new House of Commons. These early returns, of course, are in no sense conclusive, but it may be possible to draw certain conclusions from them. There is probably no man in Britain who has spent more time analyzing the past, present and future status of British political opinion than Dr. Henry Durant, the director of the Gallup poll. His predictions in the past have had a consistent record of accuracy. Dr. Durant, what's happening to the Liberal vote in this election?
The present indication is that although the Liberals carefully chose their seats and contested only just over 100 instead of nearly 500 as they did last time, in spite of that careful selection, it seems that their vote is dropping in those 100 constituencies.
Well, is it going in the constituencies where there is no Liberal candidate, is it going more to the Conservatives or more to Labour?
I estimate that it's going to the Conservatives about 2-1.
Well, now, before the election, you predicted that the Conservatives would come in with a small majority. Have you seen anything in the figures tonight to cause you to change that opinion?
At the moment, it looks as though that will be the case.
You still feel that it will be perhaps the majority of 20 for the Conservatives?
I should guess so at the present time, yes.
Now, Dr. Durant, what's been happening to the candidates who have been supported by Aniron Bevan, the left-wing leader of the Labour Party?
They seem to have done at least as well as the ordinary Labour candidates, and in fact there is some indication that they have done better. There were 2 seats in the same town where both held by Labour men. One was a Bevanite, and the other one wasn't. The Bevanite has retained his seat. The other man, the official Labour man, has lost his seat.
Have you drawn any conclusions so far about the communist vote?
And there hasn't been any evidence at all, because they are contesting only 10 seats, and so far there have been no returns concerning those seats.
What's happened to the sum total of the popular vote? I believe it was 84% in the last election. What does it look like this time?
It seems it's going to be very close to 84 again.
Well, on the basis of the return so far, then, in your opinion, your original estimate still stands?
I think so, yes.
Do you feel that in the course of the night, when the returns begin to come in from the north, that there is likely to be any substantial change in this trend that has been established now?
No, I doubt it. The trend, so far as we can see, was universal.
And it's your opinion that will continue throughout...
It's dangerous to hazard a guess, but if I have to, I would say yes.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Dr. Durant. I've never seen an election quite like this one. It seems to me that the only neutrals in London today were the pigeons in Trafalgar Square and the leaves that were burning in the park here in London. The crowds that were entering the polling booths from Land's End to John O'Groats were quiet and orderly. The British take their voting like they take their pleasure, very seriously. Here in London, there was a grim seriousness to be seen on the faces of those who went in to mark their ballot. Most of them looked as though they would like to vote three or four times if the law allowed. They stood patiently in line, waiting their turn. They're accustomed to standing in line. They stand in line for their food, for their buses, and for their paychecks. But there was very little lighthearted banter in this election here in London today. It was a serious business. There was what I would call a grim note about the whole thing, much more than last year or in the election of 1945. This has been a fairly well-mannered election on the surface, but the real bitterness underlying the whole thing can't be concealed. And the result, whatever it is, will leave a great deal of hatred. And much of that hatred will be based upon class. The weather has been good throughout most of the island, and the voting has been heavy. As Dr. Durant indicated a moment ago, it may well go above the 84% registered in the last election. Here in London tonight, one of the favorite parlor games is guessing the composition of the new Conservative cabinet. But the feeling still persists that anything can happen, although Dr. Durant, who has been right more often than most of us, still feels that the Conservatives will come in with a majority of perhaps 20. I think it would be fair to say that there was almost a sense of quiet desperation about the voting here in London today. Watching the crowds, I had the feeling that their minds had been made up, that it hadn't been easy, but that their conviction was firm. There are a lot of parties going on here in London tonight. One for a couple of thousand notables at the Savoy Hotel, given by a Conservative publisher. At last report, the Conservatives in attendance were not jubilant at the result. But it's much too early for gloom or jubilation. And everyone realizes, of course, that if the Conservatives come in with a majority of only 15 or 20, they will lead a very precarious existence as the government of the United Kingdom. Mr. Churchill and a number of his shadow cabinet are listening to the results at his home in Hyde Park Gate. In many places in London, people who have saved a bottle have broached it to toast the future of their party, uncertain as that future may be at the moment. Throughout this campaign, it has appeared that the two parties were grinding against each other on old issues without damaging each other substantially, and the results reported so far do not indicate that either party has ground very much off the other. The latest reports just handed me show Labour with 71 seats, the Conservatives with 54, the Liberals with 1. That means that Labour has lost 5 seats, that the Conservatives have gained 4, and the Liberals have gained 1. This is Ed Murrow in London. I return you now to Bill Shaddell in New York.
The Allies have spelled out their proposals for a ceasefire line in Korea based roughly on present battle lines. The Reds' counterproposals may come tonight in the second session of the new armistice talks scheduled within the hour. Meanwhile, full-scale air war appears to be shaping up over Korea, with the Reds for the fifth straight day making determined efforts to break up the Allied raids, which were concentrated today on communist supply lines. Our Air Force claims 9 locomotives destroyed, 19 others damaged, and 1 Red plane damaged. The Reds again sent up more than 80 jet fighters to challenge our fighter bombers. In Washington, the critical talks with Iranian Premier Mossadegh over the British-Iranian oil dispute shifted today from the capital to a farm at nearby Middleburg, Virginia, as Assistant Secretary of State George McGee entertained the visiting premier. McGee took over the discussions since Secretary Acheson and the party of delegates to the UN Assembly were leaving today for Paris. President Truman says he feels some progress is being made in the discussions. Iran signed a trade agreement with Russia today, giving Russia Iranian cotton in exchange for sugar now denied Iran in the British retaliation over oil cancellations. Egyptian papers made much today over diplomatic talks between Egypt and Russia, overshadowing the American ambassador's talks with King Farouk. In Washington, the State Department denies any U.S. move to mediate the bitter dispute between Egypt and Britain. A British military spokesman admits the boycott by Egyptian labor is creating a critical situation for the British in the canal zone. France's Foreign Minister Schuman promised today that if Italy's request for UN membership is vetoed in the Security Council, the question will be taken up in the General Assembly, where a veto is ineffective. President Truman admitted to newsmen today that the controversy over his nomination of General Mark Clark as ambassador to the Vatican, that was not as great as he had expected. He strongly defended his action, said there was still plenty of time for the criticism to be aired before Congress takes up the nomination in January. The Agriculture Department tonight predicts higher prices in dairy products. Higher prices for clothing, rents, and food sent the government's cost of living index today to a new record high, which means another round of wage increases for thousands of workers covered by cost of living contracts. Senator Taft has called for a recheck of military expenditures by a joint civilian-military commission since we've just about reached the limit, he says, on taxes. The Senate Preparedness Committee issued another report today criticizing waste of manpower at military bases of the Navy and Marine Corps. A collector of taxes in Brooklyn, who was asked to resign this week, told House investigators today he perhaps tried last February to get an investigation of his office postponed. A federal grand jury again indicted former Commerce Department employee William Remington on 5 counts of perjury. Remington had just won an appeal to have a former perjury conviction reversed. While 12 million people here in New York and in surrounding areas were cut off from their normal delivery of milk today in a strike of AFL Teamsters, which is now settled. Striking dock workers throughout the Port of New York agreed earlier today to move some cargoes of military piers, then apparently changed their minds as the strike is extended to other eastern ports. This is Bill Shadell. Ed Murrow will be back in a moment with a word for today.
These are the days when a scent of burning leaves fills the air. Everywhere, folks are busily raking their yards, planting tulip bulbs, cutting fireplace wood, and getting ready for Old Man Winter. And when it comes time for a break, that's when Ham's Beer appears on the scene. For every day, all over America, more and more people are claiming Ham's Beer as their kind of beer for real refreshment. Ham's alone, among the country's finest beers, captures an exhilarating bit of the refreshing land where it's brewed, the land of sky blue waters. No matter where you are, when real refreshment's called for, that extra refreshing Northland zest is yours to enjoy. You see it in the golden autumn color of Ham's. You enjoy it in the crisp, clean-cut taste with smoothness aged in. Whenever you want something really special in the way of refreshment these busy fall days, just help yourself. Have a frosty cold Ham's Beer, refreshingly yours from the land of sky blue waters. And now, Ed, what's the word for today?
Give them a second.
Instead of the word for today, I will give you the latest standing of the parties. Labor has won 81 seats, the Conservatives 68, and the Liberals 1. And I think perhaps there is time enough, Bob Dixon, to say that we may hope that Mr. Will Rogers was right when he said, "A politician is not as narrow-minded as he forces himself to be." Good night, and good luck.
Tune in again tomorrow night for Edward R. Murrow and the News, brought to you by the Ham Brewing Company of St. Paul, Minnesota. Tonight, reach for a bottle of Ham's Beer, the beer with the crisp, clean-cut flavor all its own. It's truly America's most refreshing beer, from the land of sky blue waters, enchanted land of cool refreshment. Ask for Ham's Beer tonight. Listen to Murrow tomorrow. Fahey Flynn speaking. This is the CBS Radio Network.